Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The Word of God we're going to focus on this afternoon is found recorded in Genesis chapter 2, Genesis chapter 3, and John chapter 3. First of all, Genesis chapter 2. The Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and take care of it. And the Lord God commanded the man, "You are free to eat from any tree in the garden, but you must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. For when you eat of it, you will surely die." And then Genesis chapter 3. And the Lord God said, "The man has now become like one of us, knowing good and evil. He must not be allowed to reach out his hand and take also from the tree of life and eat and live forever." So the Lord God banished him from the Garden of Eden to work the ground from which he had been taken. After he drove the man out, he placed on the east side of the Garden of Eden cherubim and a flaming sword flashing back and forth to guard the way to the tree of life. And then John chapter 3. "Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the desert, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes in him may have eternal life." The Word of the Lord. Dear friends in Christ, there was a tree in my backyard, in the backyard of the parsonage, that needed to be removed. This was about 6 years ago. It was a very tall tree, and it stood on the west side of the property. And of course, you know, this season of March, we've had a lot of strong winds blowing. This large tree had to be removed because it started losing some branches, a lot of branches, some really big branches. And so we looked at that in the fall and thought, that tree needs to come down, because we don't want those winds in the spring to blow and knock it over on the house. And so they came in the fall and took the tree down, no more tree, they removed it. Which was a good thing, because come spring, when the winds started blowing, we had another problem. We didn't need to worry about the tree falling on the house, but we had another problem. Now the septic system at the parsonage wasn't working very well. In other words, the water was not draining. It did not want to go down very well at all. So one of my councilmen and I went out, and we went out to where the vent pipe was, and we started digging. And we dug, and we dug, and we probably were 6 feet into the ground. We got down there, and we discovered an old dry well where all the water went. Well, that was a little confusing, because we had looked, and the pipe went straight out of the house. At least it looked like in the basement. It went straight out of the house, straight to that vent pipe. But we couldn't figure out where the lines were going. Where was the water coming from, and where was it going? And so we dug a little bit more, and eventually we figured out that as it went out of the house, it zigged a little bit and went over to the solids tank and then zagged a little bit more and came back over to this old dry well. So all the water would go into there. Well, we had that figured out, but still we couldn't figure out what was going on after that. The pipe that went out of there, why wasn't the water draining? Well, we got a plumber in. He snaked it out, figured, well, there's something down there at the end. It's not working quite right. So he had to bring in a guy with a little backhoe, and he dug up the backyard. And he got down about 12 feet into the ground and figured out there was a pile of rocks in the ground. And basically, this is where all the water was going, into this pile of rocks a little ways away from the house. Well, now we knew we needed a new septic system. But we got to come back to the tree. See, we figured out, after we started thinking about this for a while, that those two things were kind of working together. That tree that was out there in the yard was actually drinking up all the water that went out of the septic system. And so when it drank up all the water, it's actually kind of like part of the septic system. So the septic system worked. Take the tree out, the septic system doesn't work anymore. But the other way around also is true. The septic system probably killed the tree. Now, as we think about working hard, our eyes turn back to Adam and Eve in the garden. God says he put Adam and Eve in the garden to work. Their kind of work in the garden wasn't that same kind of burdensome, laborious work that we had to do as we were digging up that septic system. The work in the garden was wonderful. It was perfect. Remember, everything was perfect in the garden. So when God says, go and work in the garden, that was wonderful to work there. You know, there's something satisfying about using your abilities, about using the gifts that God has given to you and using them in the way He has intended for you to use them. So there are Adam and Eve out there using the intellect, using the mind, using the time and treasures and talents that God has given to them in exactly the way God has intended them to be used. And there they are working, and it's bringing about great happiness and joy and blessing for them. Now, inside of the middle of the garden are some other things that God gave to Adam and Eve for their blessing and for their happiness, particularly two trees. In the middle of the garden, there is the tree of life. Adam and Eve would go out and they would eat of that tree for their happiness and for their blessing, and they would have long life. Then there's that other tree, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And this too was for their blessing and for their happiness. This was a place where they could freely show their love to God. So there's this tree there, however, that second one that we seem to have a problem with. Because when we think about that tree of the knowledge of good and evil, we always want to ask the wrong question. We always want to look at that tree and say, why did God put that there if He knew Adam and Eve were going to sin? That's not the question we should ask. See, we need to understand why God put that tree there. God put that tree there because He loved Adam and Eve. And we think, wait, how is that? How does that work? Well, see, God is a very loving God who wants to bless us. And sometimes we might almost say that He blesses us too much. Because sometimes the things that He blesses us with almost can become, well, things that we misuse. And yet God so wants to bless us, so wants to give gifts to us, and He does this with this tree as well. I want you to think about a parent. I want you to think about a parent of a 16-year-old. That 16-year-old comes home with a brand new shiny license. And mom and dad are all proud of that parent. And they say, okay, I want to bless my child. I want to hand them the keys to the car. Now, of course, that 16-year-old might go out and crash that car. And yet, that parent says, I'm proud of that child. I've put them through that class. They have that ability to drive. I'm going to trust them to go out and not crash that car. And isn't that kind of what God does? He says to us, here's this tree. Here's this blessing for you. Here's an opportunity for you to freely choose to love me. And then He says, I love you. I've given you all of these blessings. And then He does warn them, yeah, don't go out and crash the car. So they go out. And for a while, they lovingly trust God. They go out and they work in the garden. And you know, God could have made it so we wouldn't ever fall into sin. He could have made it so none of us would ever have that opportunity, but then we would have been robots. And God didn't want that for us. God looked at us and He made us more than that. He gave us knowledge. He gave us a will. He gave us freedom to choose to love Him, to serve Him, willingly, lovingly, not because we had to, but because we loved Him. Well, Adam and Eve decided that they were going to love themselves more than God. And so they chose to eat of that tree of the knowledge of good and evil. They chose to fear, love, and trust in themselves more than God. The devil came along, he lied to them, told them, oh, if you eat of that, you will not die. But they ate of that tree, and they tasted of death. So God casts Adam and Eve out of that garden to work the ground from which they were taken, and now it will be difficult to work that ground. But God casts them out of that garden because He loves them. Let me say that again. God casts them out of that garden because He loves them. See, God understands that if Adam and Eve would have gone and kept on eating of that tree of life, that they would have continued to, well, He says it would be better for them to die than to keep on eating of that tree of life. It would be better for them to die than for them to continue to live on with their bodies and their minds wrecked by sin. That was a future God said we would not want to have to live forever with. And so God said, I'm going to cast them out of the garden because I don't want them to have to experience that forever. So God casts them out. And He knows that sin must be dealt with. It must be paid for. It must be washed away before He can bless us with happiness and life that lasts forever. Sin has to be done away with and taken away before He can say, now they can live forever in happiness and joy. So how does that happen? How do we get rid of sin? Well, Adam and Eve, because they have fallen into sin, can no longer get themselves out of that. And neither can you or I, because we have been born with that very same sinful nature, inherited from them, passed down from generation to generation. So none of us can get out of that exile from God because of our sin. Well, since we can't address the problem, God says He's the only one who can. And since we are sinners and we can't restore ourselves to a right relationship with God, God says, I will send my Son into this world. And so His Son is sent into this world as one of us. Son of man and Son of God. We were overcome by a tree, and so God says that Son of man and Son of God will come into this world and will overcome sin and death by a tree. We need another tree, God said. And so He sends His Son into this world so that He might go and pay the price. What's the price for sin? We heard about it as the children sang about that old rugged cross. It's the place of suffering and shame. He sends His Son into this world to take the punishment for our sins, to take that suffering and that shame and to go and die on that cross. And so by His death on that tree, He makes that tree a place of life for us. Jesus pays that penalty for us. That place of suffering and death, that place, that tree, becomes a place of death so that we might have life. So Jesus turns that instrument of death, the tree of the cross, into a place of life for us. It becomes a tree of life for us. Our exile from God is now over because Jesus paid the price. Our exile from God is now removed. We can go back into the presence of God. We can live. Jesus said it this way. He said, it's like when Moses lifted up that snake on that tree as the people were being bitten by the snakes and they were dying. And they looked up at that bronze snake. And when they looked up in faith, not because that's how you get better from a snake bite, but that's because God said, look up in faith and you will live. And so Jesus said, I need to be lifted up so that all the world may look up to me in faith and they may live. Look up at this tree of death, so that you might live. This isn't a story about a tree that killed a septic system, or a septic system that killed a tree. This isn't the story of a tree that killed the human race or how the human race killed our relationship with God. This is a story about a tree of life, a tree of death that led to a tree of life, the tree of the knowledge of sin, and now a tree of death that leads to life. We go from tree to tree, the tree of the cross to the tree that took the life of Jesus. We go to that tree and we find life. Our hearts rejoice to go on this journey, to go to this place where we see death take place, and yet for us that is a tree that brings life. Once again, we want to focus on that picture of one more tree, a tree in heaven. A tree kept safe in heaven for us. A tree that I don't think we can hear that picture enough times. We'll never tire of seeing this picture from Revelation chapter 22. Then the angel showed me the river of the water of life as clear as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb down the middle of the great street of the city. On each side of the river stood the tree of life, bearing 12 crops of fruit, yielding its fruit every month, and the leaves of the tree are for the healing of the nations. This is the life that has been restored to us. A life with God, a life forever in heaven, a life through Jesus. And so we go from tree to tree. We see Jesus go to that tree of the cross and overcome by that tree of death to give us life. In Jesus' name, amen.